We're starting here 4 lines from the bottom on Chetam Udbet, just finishing up the sugi here of transference of flavors or problematic items through the heat of the Shechita. So Amar Meimar Mishmedra Papa, Lodis Chof Inish, Kifle Ibui Bisro, Didoiv Tarbo, Ubalo Bisro. After one shechs the animal, shouldn't take the fat that is around the klayot, around the kidney area, which is around the loins, the fat of the loins, and turn it over and place it on top of the basar, because we're afraid that it's going to absorb. The basar, which the chalavim, which are asurim, these fats, which are asur, are going to be absorbed into the basar and create a problem. Mar says, Ihochi, ki, and when they are in taritzi, when they are in place, nami, da'iv tarbo, balu bisra. So what about when they're in place? Forget about after you shecht it, you take out the fats and place them on top. Just after you shecht it, but basar is surrounding the fats that are there. So why don't we say over there that the basar absorbs from those fats? Mar says, karma mafsik mitatai. So the Mar says that there's underneath it, underneath the fats, there's an encasement. That encasement is a thin film encasement underneath it, which protects it from being absorbed into the basar. That means that the film or the encasement absorbs from the chalavim, but the basar itself does not absorb. So of course, the film around them, the encasement is problematic, but the basar itself is not problematic. So why don't you say the same thing when he flips it over? He takes it out, it flips it over onto the basar. Karma iko. There's also a film around it, meaning if they're encased from both sides. So why does it matter when it's inside that its encasement protects it from going into the basar? Whereas when you take it out and flip it on top, the encasement doesn't protect it. I says, no, I did the memash mishol yada the tabcha mifatet. So the problem is that the tabach who touches it, the film is so thin that when the tabach touches it, it rubs off. Mifatet is from the word titim, but liftototo, which means to fold it and to bend it. And that when he gets involved with these fats, the film breaks on top. So when he flips it over on top, the film's already broken. That's what we're afraid of. And then it's going to be absorbed into the basar. Tosfos points out that, therefore, when he takes it out and flips it over, we worry about it. But when it's inside, and he hasn't touched it yet, the film's intact, and therefore we don't worry about the absorption into the basar. Tosfos points out that this is only right away. Haynu l'achar nituach miyad. Kodem shenitztanen basar. This is only right after Shechita, when the basar is still warm, where it can be absorbed. Right? If it already cooled off, then there's nothing to worry about. So it just ends off the sugya from yesterday, just about the transference and the heat of the Shechita. Today we jump over to something that we spoke about in the introduction to Chulin, and that is the statement here, the second line on Daf Tetamud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Talmid Chacham, Tzarich Shilmod Gimel Dvarim. Any Talmid Chacham has to know three things. Ktav, how to write. Now, lichtov, which is shiadea lachtom, shemo, ilu yeshe bedinu leidut. Ktav over here is not necessarily ktiva, like we think about ktivat sefer Torah, ktivat muzah, tefillin, but rather ktav, that he knows how to write, period, that he can be able to sign his name. Shchita, Rashi says over here, le'amen yado. Not only should he know the halachot, but he should know how to have a steady hand and do the proper shchita. Umila, and he should be able to perform a mila. So these are three basic items that a Talmid Chacham should know. Ktav, Shechita, Mila. Obviously by Ktav, Rashi explains it as being Chatima, but you could explain Ktav to be here, like we said before, a Stam, that it could be Sefer Torah Mezuzot, that he has the ability to write a Sefer Torah Mezuzot. And that would make them a Talmid Chacham. If you can do the Ktiva, Mila, and Shechita, it's all the basic things that people need, and therefore a Talmid Chacham should be able to provide those for them. Rav Chananya bar Selmaya, Mishmed Rav Amar, you have to know these three other things. Kesher Shel Tefillin, how to tie the Kesher Shel Tefillin, Ubirkat Chatanim, how to make the Birkat Chatanim, Tzitzit, and Tzitzit. So these are three other things, how to tie the knots on the Tzitzit. Those are three other things that a Talmid Chacham should know. V'idach, so why didn't he count these three? Why didn't Rav Yehuda or Rav count these three? Hani Shchichon, those are more common. So the way Rashi explains here, what is Hani Shchichon? Hani Shchichon are the latter three. Kesher Shel Tefillin, the Birkat Chatanim and the Tzitzit, those are Shchichon, they happen all the time. And therefore Rashi says, Mitzuyin Tadir, everybody knows, Milkach HaKol Bekiyim Behem. It's not unique to a Talmid Chacham, this is not something Yuchat to Talmid Chacham, but everybody knows how to tie Tzitzit. Everybody knows how to tie the Kesher Shel Tefillin, and everybody knows how to make Birkat Chatanim. This isn't something out of the ordinary. It's something in the ordinary course every day. And therefore, You don't have to, we don't designate them or relegate it to a Talmud Chacham that everybody knows. What's unique or special Talmud Chacham are the other three, which is Ktav, Shechita, and Mila. Right? So Ktav, right, well, not, maybe not in their day. Sign every once in a while. They sign the document, but writing wasn't something that was a part of their everyday lives. Talmud here brings down something, but it doesn't make so much sense unless you remember what we saw in the Gemara in Menachot. And that is over here. Mikan medakdeg Rabbeinu Tam. From here, Rabbeinu Tam is medakdeg. You don't have to tie your tefillin every day when you put them on. Rabbeinu Eliyahu, we saw this Rabbeinu Eliyahu in a Kometz Rabo. He says you have to tie your tefillin every day, based on the Gemara in Kometz Rabo, because the Gemara says there, tefillin in a time of Rechelim, when can you make the brach on them? Mishat Hanacha ad Shat Shira, from the time you put them on to the time you knot them or tie them. Well, what is the Shat Anacha Shat Shira? So you can make the brocha as long as you're putting on the tefillin. Well, that shows you, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that you have to tie the knot on the tefillin Jerosh every day. And then you're talking about the Dalit, the knot of the Dalit behind us, that Rashi mentions over here, that you have the shin of the tefillin, the boxes themselves. You have the Dalit of the knot behind the head. And there was a minhag that developed that it became squared out, that it was two Dalits, but the Ikar Minhag and the Beit Yosef and others bring down is that it should be actually a Dalit, not a square in the back. And then you have the Yud of the Kesher Tefillin, which spells out the Shem Hashem. So the Rashi, this Dalit, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu is suggesting if you tie it every day. Every day you have to take this Tefillin on. The Rabbeinu tells us, oh, from our Gemara you see that you don't have to tie it every day. Well, from our Gemara you see just the opposite. What do you see from our Gemara? Hanishvichan. That's common. The Kesher Tefillin is common. Well, why would it be common? It would only be common if it's done every day, which means that it's like the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that you do the Kesher Tefillin every day. That means you tie this Dalit knot. Shchiach! Everybody's tying it every day. That's why it's so shchiach.
Excuse me,
tzitzit? Tzitzit also. People are put on. Ain't begged. Anytime you have a four-cornered beggar, you have to put it on.
You said it, but it's not that you untie it every day.
Right, but at least it's more frequent. It's not once in a lifetime that you're going to put on a Kesher Tefillin, which you put on once in your lifetime. Now, Rabbeinu Tam has a proof from the Gemara and Shabbos and Erevin, which says that the Kesher Shel Tefillin is a Kesher Shel Kayama. If you have to undo it and do it every day, that's not going to be a Kesher Shel Kayama. Kesher Kayama would be if it remains all the time. But if you look back in the Tosafot, back in Hakometz Rabo, it wasn't so long ago that we did this, the Tosafot brings down the Rabbeinu Eliyahu and the Rabbeinu Tam who argues, and then he says, Mevi Raya, he brings his proof from our Gemara here. And the other one says, no, those are common. Perish. He has to learn them because he needs them. Oh, wait, do you hear what the Rabbeinu Tam did? He says, Hani Shchichan is not going on the latter three. It's going on the first three. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam. And then he quotes Rashi and says that Rashi's wrong. That the Rashi's perush, that the Shchichan is going on the latter three is wrong. The Hani Shchichan is the first three. These are things you need all the time. What are things you need all the time? Shchita, Mila, and Ktav, which is what you were asking, David. Maybe Ktav you need it all the time. These are three things. And that's what the Hani Shchichan is going on. And that's what the Rabbeinu Tam means. That the Hani Shchichan, and this proof, this Gemara is a proof to Rabbeinu Tam now. Because that means the latter three, Kesher Tefillin, are not Shchichan. Well, if they're put on every day, then they are shchiach. So that's the proof of the Rabbeinu Tam from our Gemara, because he reads the Hani Shchichan differently than Rashi. Rashi reads the Hani Shchichan on the latter three, whereas the Rabbeinu Tam reads the Hani Shchichan on the first three. It's not mentioned in our Tosafot, but it is mentioned in Tosafot back in Hakometz Rabbah Menachot. And if you remember, even though we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Eliyahu that you have to tie the Kesher Shel Tefillin every day, we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam that you tie it once and that's sufficient, and then you put it on. Tosafot in Menachot says that he thinks that Rabbeinu Tam is right, legabei, the Kesher Shel Kayama, the Dalit by the Tefillin Shel Rosh, but by the Tefillin Shel Yad, he thinks that the Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right. And because of that, we have the Shita of people like the Mishkanot Yaakov, as well as Rav Soloveitchik quoted that based on this Rabbeinu Eliyahu, even though we don't accept Alocha, that there has to be a Kshira every day, but nevertheless, there has to be some form of Kshira. By the Tefillin Shel Rosh, you already have a Kshira. By the Tefillin Shel Yad, you don't have a Kshira. Kshira is created by the wrapping that you do around the arm. And that Kshira may not be done until you wrap around your hand, until you knot it on your hand. He speaks over there about the idea of Kshartim Le'ot Al Yadecha. Al Yadecha, there's a Kshira Al Yad. Even though Chazal say Al Yadecha means up at the Kiboret, Nevertheless, there really is the kshira, the completion of the kshira is on the yad because you knot it on the hand. Based on that, he suggests, number one, that you would have to knot it in order for the completion or to do something on the hand that would make it that it would not come undone in order for the kshira. Rosh Alvejik had the minog. Based on that, too, when he put on his tefillin shayad, not like what we do, which we stop before we finish the tefillin shayad and then put on the tefillin shayrosh, he used to wrap it all the way through and knot it so that it was really a kesher, and then only then put on the tefillin shayrosh, because otherwise it's as if you don't have the tefillin shayad on. If they're not knotted yet, if it's not bound, then it's not a kshira. But that's based, taking this Rabbeinu Elio and understanding that kshira means something that remains in place. So true, the Rabbeinu Tam believes that you can do the kshira once by the tefillin shayrosh, but by tefillin shayad, where you don't have that, you need to do a kshira. And a kshira is something that does not come undone. Based on that, the minhag developed to make sure the kshira and also on your tefillin shayad, to wrap it in a way that it doesn't come undone, because otherwise it may not be classified as a kshira. The Gemara continues, and this is what we quoted in the introduction that we had. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Shmuel kol tabach she'eni yodea halachot hilchot shkita, any butcher doesn't know hilchot shkita, asur lechol mishkitato, you can't eat from mishkita. Ve'elu hein hilchot shkita, these are the halachot of shkita. This is what we say the Moshe Mitzrayim, shiya, which is delaying, hesitating in the shkita, darsa, we discussed here, is where he presses the knife through instead of in the back and forth motion, he presses it through. Halada is where he takes the knife is not visible as he's cutting, but he somehow inserts the knife in to do the simanim. Hagrama is where he has the knife, he does the shkita outside of the box, outside of the area, which we'll learn later on, the area where the shkita is kasher. The ikur. Ikur we saw over here was a machloket rishonim, which we discussed again, in the introduction, Rashi says, it's shachat aveshet, he shechted the esophagus, upasach agrogorot, but he punctured the windpipe, and that's called ikur, according to Rashi. Tosos just asked, that's not called ikur, that's called no shechita. There is no shechita here, it's not that you did shechita and there's something wrong, you never shechted, because you punctured the kaneh, that's not called shechita. So that's not what we're talking about here. So Tosos brings down one possibility, is where we're talking about there's a nick in the knife, and the nick in the knife causes it to grab a hold of the gregorot of the windpipe, causes it to grab a hold of the simanim, and that's what the ikur is. And the other possibility we saw, which is quoted in the Tosfot, as well as by the Sefer Achinuch and the Rambam, which is the Bahag. The Bahag says that he did the shechita by ikur simanim, that the simanim were somehow pulled away from their normal location, where they're not sitting in their normal location, and then he shechs after they've been somehow removed or severed from their location, that he does the shkita, and that's called ikur. So those are the three possibilities of what ikur is here. And Machloket Rashi, who says it's about, he does shkita and avesh and punctures the gugurit. Tosfot, who says, maybe that's sakin kuma over magal, that catches the siman. And the Bahag, we saw in the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, who bring down that the ikur, is that somehow they were nakara siman mimkomo, that it was taken out of its place, and he shechted it out of place. And these are the five dinim of shechita, which we're going to get to later on in the Masechta, because as Gemara says, Maika Mashman. What is Shmuel teaching us over here? What is Shmuel adding anything over here? Kulu taninu. We're going to see them all in Mishnayot later on in the Masechta. So we'll get to each one of these in the Masechta, but they're already in Mishnayot. So what is Shmuel and Amora doing, telling us something that's already found in the Mishnayot? He has a chazakah, he shechted for us two or three times, and we see that he does a good shechita. Shachat Shapir. We can take it for granted. Since he already has a chazakah to shecht properly, we'll take it for granted that his next shechita is fine, even if we're not standing over him. Kamash Malan came into a gomar. Since he doesn't know ilchot shechita, zimnin deshoi bidoris velo yodo. There'll be times where he hesitates, or he's doris, he pushes through, and he won't be aware of what it means. He doesn't understand the definition of shia and derisa. Never, even though we've seen him shecht properly, nevertheless, there'll be times where he makes a mistake, and he won't be aware of the mistake in order to know that it's not kosher. So the din is, or that's what Shmuel's coming to teach us, Mashmalan came into logamar, zimin deshoi bidoris velo yodo, and therefore it's problematic, because shechita is problematic. So in addition to the din of the Mishnah, which tells us the psulim, Shmuel is teaching us that he must know these dinim, and not simply have done in front of us and have a chazok of doing a good shechita in front of us, because we want to be aware that when he's not in front of us, that he'll know if he did something wrong. Right, next statement. If I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Adabach tzarich shivdoch b'simanim lachar shechita. Tabach has to check the simanim after shechita. And over here, you can see it's to check that he got through the rov shnayim, to make sure that he's able to get through the rov of the two simanim, and the birds, to make sure they got through the rov echad. He got through the simanim without any problem. So now Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, afanam nami tanina. We already say I have this. This is already in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, imshaal kedei bikur. What's the shia? Shia is kedei bikur. Shia is the amount of time it would take to do the check. My love, kedei bikur simanim. What other check is Rabbi Shimon talking about? When he's giving you the amount of time that's classified as shia, and that is, he says, bikur. What other bikur would you be talking about here? What other check do you have? It must be that he's talking about the check of the simanim. Kedei bikur simanim. Samayavai, lo. Hachem Rabbi Yochanan kedei bikur chacham. It's the amount of time it takes for the chacham to check it. Now, bikur chacham, Rashi is very interesting, Rashi over here. Societally, it was true in their day that this very, very hierarchical society, and you had to give kavod to those people who sat above you, and so on and so forth. So here's the Rashi. Shetabach tzarich la'arot ha'sakin l'chacham yir mipnei kvod ha'chacham. Because of the kavod ha'chacham, he has to show the knife to the chacham. Even though the tabach is an expert, and he could check the knife himself, he still has to show it to the chacham despite that fact. So it's the beaker over here is the beaker of the knife to make sure that the knife is smooth and there's no problem. Now, even though the tabach could do the beaker on himself, mikvod ha'chacham, he has to go to the chacham and have it checked over there. The Gemara says, imkei natata dverecha l'shiurim. Then you made this subjective rather than an objective. Who knows how far the chacham leaves from the butcher? The butcher doesn't always live right next to the chacham, and therefore you now have subjective distance. Ela kedei beaker tabach chacham. It's not that you have to check the simanim, but rather a tabach. Who is the chacham? There is no greater chacham in the city, so he can do the check himself. So it's a kedei bikur that he can check that knife because he's the one who's checking it himself, the amount of time it takes. Tosu says, well, that's still the shiurim because you have different size knives. You have a big knife, small knife, take them longer or shorter. So I said, no, we're talking about a standard knife. Standard knife is the amount, the standard length of a knife is the amount that is the size of the beit ha-shechita doubled. In that you have knife that fits over the beit ha-shechita and then a empty part of the knife, which isn't beit ha-shechita. Therefore, when you move back and forth, the knife will cover the beit ha-shechita in both directions. So it's a standard knife check. The amount of time it takes that standardized check, that's the bikur that we're talking about over here. Today also, we have dikat chacham. Somebody has to check over the knives. The chalaf, before they do shechita, to make sure. So that's the bikur that Rabbi Shimon is talking about. That's the amount of shia. So lo badak mai. What happens if you don't check? Rashi points out over here, we're talking about lo badak ha-simanim. If he doesn't check the simanim, what's the din of this animal? After the shechita. Rabbi Lezer ben Tignus Mishum, Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Yanai Amar, Treifa, Asura ba'achila. It gets the status of a treifa, also ba'achila, because we don't know if it's a kosher shechita, but it's enough of a shechita that we don't make it into nevela. There's no tumah here. There's only isra achila, but there's no tumah involved.
See, I have a question. What are you supposed to check afterwards? I mean, not always do you know afterwards, according to what you see, how the shechita was performed.
Correct, but you want to know that he got through Rov Simanim, that he got through the Rov Shnayim, and he got through Rov Echad Bayof. We said that earlier, that certain these things you can't check after the fact. That's why you can't trust. Even after the fact, you can't say to somebody, oh, you can see that he did Darsa, or he did Shia. You don't know. That's why you need someone to know the halachos when he's doing Shkita. So that you can't check after the fact.
So you just check to see if he did the Rov Shnayim.
Yeah, that's what the check we're talking about here. So Medita Tano, in a right, though, we have nevela umitama b'masa. It's a full status of a nevela, and it's mitama with carrying, like a nevela. But my kemifligid, what are they arguing about? This argument between Rabbi Eliezer ben Antigonus and the Breita, one says that it's a nevela, one says it's a treifa. So what's the argument over here? They're arguing Rabbuna, Dam Rabbuna, behema b'chayeha b'cheskat isur umedet. Behema, as long as it's alive, has a cheskat isur, evra min achai. Until you know for certain that it was nishchat. Nishchata, once it's nishchat, then it has a din of heter. Unless you have evidence that it's a treifa. So marsavar b'chezkat isur kaima v'hashta meitai. So what do we have? We have a chezkat isur ever minachai. Now it's dead in front of us. Marsavar b'chezkat isur aminan b'chezkat tuma lo aminan. So the other one says, no, the only chazak it has while it's alive is that it's asur b'achila, but it's not tmeya when it's alive. So now we have in front of us this animal that's dead, but you did a shechita. You can't check the shechita. You didn't check the shechita properly. Okay, but fine, ala rov. When you deal with shechita, ala rov, shechita is good. So here we have some times that we're choshish for the miyut. So when they're choshish the miyut, we're not going to let you eat it. But to make it tmeya, there was no chezka tuma beforehand. Rov shechita are okay. Based on that, we're going to say over here that it's not tmeya. It's not mutar b'achila, but it's not tmeya. The other mandamer says, no, what do we have? We had a live animal, skazkadisur. Dead animal is a nevela. We don't know how it got from being alive to dead, but the chazaka never changed, and therefore it's b'chezka tuma. Oh, here we know, because here that something happened in between. There was a shechita in between. We know that there was a shechita. We know that something happened. We just didn't check the shechita, but there was a shechita. And that's what we're saying. Ala rov, shechita is good. So based on that rov, we're going to assume that it's not tamei. We'll rely on the rov for tuma. We're not going to rely on the rov for the isur achila. So gufa, I'm Rabbi Yonah Beimer, b'chayev b'chazkat isur, omedet achiv adelecha b'men nishchata. Nishchata b'chazkat eter, omedet achiv adelecha b'men nishchata. V'leima, in the second half of this, the second half of the Rav Huna, it says that once it's nishchat, b'chazkat heter. Chazkat heter assumes that there's a suffix. You only need a chazoka when there's a suffix. Why don't you just say nishchata hutra, that it's fine? So why is it saying hezkat heter? So what is that? Lema nishkata hutra? Hakamashvan da apagav ditla ba yireuta. Even though there's a reuta, there's something now that brings up questions about the chazaka. Nevertheless, it still has its chazaka. Kedibay minei Rabbi Avim Ravuna. Bazeev, a wolf comes, v'natal b'nei me'ayim, and he took the innards. Mahu, what's the din? It says, natal, haletnu, what do you mean what's the din? They're gone now. There's nothing to check anymore. So there's a ela nukav b'nei me'ayim. He punctured holes in the b'nei me'ayim. Mahu, what's the din? We know that a nekev in the b'nei me'ayim is treifa. So here now, he made a hole in the b'nei me'ayim. The Gemara says, nakav hakazina hu de nekvinu. What do you mean? He put a hole in it, and we watched him put a hole in it. So what's the question about treifa here? Now, ela natlan vekziran k'shen nekuvim. He took them, and then he brings them back with holes in them. Mahu, what's the din? When it left, the b'nei me'ayim looked fine to us. He comes back also in their holes in it. Mi chashina shem b'makom nekev nakav. Olo. Do we worry about the fact that where he punctured it, where the wolf's teeth punctured the b'nei me'ayim, there was a hole there. We didn't have to check it. He walked off with them. He bit them, and now there are holes in it. Do we assume that his bite went over a hole that existed or not? So kamash malon that we don't say that. That we say that it's b'chezkata. It's b'chezkat k'sheira. Unless I have, even here where there's a riuta, because there was holes in the b'nei me'ayim, our assumption is that the wolf did it, and it's b'chezka k'shera. Tosos adds on here, even though there are multiple holes in the b'nei ayim, it's not just that where he's biting now, all over the b'nei ayim there are holes here. We assume all those holes were generated by the biting of the wolf, not that they pre-existed, and that they didn't cover, also they didn't cover up another hole. So that's what we're talking about here. There, even though there's a suffix, nevertheless, b'chezka k'shera. We're not choshish for the fact that he bit in the same place where there was already a nekev. So that's the chiddush of the second half of the statement of Rav Huna. Eidavei, is that really true? Ra'at zipor ha-menekir b'te'ina. He sees a bird that's pecking away at a fig. Ve'achbar menekir ba'avtichim. Sees a mouse nibbling away at some melons. Both of these cases, what are we choshish for? Choshishin shemba makom nekev nakav. We worry about the fact that when they bit, there was already a hole. What, so what? So what that there's a hole there? What are we worried about? Worried about a snake. Worried about shem nachash nakav. The snake deposited his venom over there, and it's sakana t'nefashot. You're worried about, if he eats it, he's going to be poisoned by the snake. So we worry about the fact that where this bird or where this mouse is making the hole is on top of an existing hole that was already there, and we don't eat it. Not allowed to eat it. Malay, mika damait. How do you compare these two? To me, this is what you were bringing up before. How can you compare them? You're comparing sakana versus isura? Sakana shiny. Sakana is different than isur. You know, we're machmir more in sakana than we are by isur. So over here, where you're talking about the case of cheskat, kashrut, and talking about the bnei me'ayim, and the zeb comes and bites them, there we're talking about isur, whether you can eat it or not. Over there, we're making, we say that he didn't bite over the existing hole. Over here, where the sakana defashot at risk, but if he eats them, he could die. There we say that maybe he did bite over the existing hole, and we are worried about it. What's the difference? You have a suffix. Suffix sakanta. When you have sakana for so, you go suffix lachumra. So too. When you have poison, it's suffix lachumra. You don't eat it. Isur is the same thing. The din of an isur doraita. We go suffix isur is lachumra. Why do you make a difference? Samalei baye. Below shani ben isur the sakanta. Wait a minute, there's no difference between Sakana and Isur? You don't see that? We have such a differentiation. You have Safik Tuma Birshuta Rabim Sfeko Tahor. Vilu Safik Mai Migulim Asurim. And Safik Mai Migulim, even Birshuta Rabim, is Asur. So there you have Sakanta Chamira Misura. Tuma in Birshuta Rabim, you have a Safik about it, goes to Kula, Tahor. Safik Sakanta in Birshuta Rabim, there we go to Chumra, we say don't eat it. So Gemara says, nah, amalei hotam hilchoto gemira lo misoto. That's halacha lo Moshe miSinai. That kula is not mi'ikar adin. Mi'ikar adin, safek b'shut rabim should be asur. It should be a safek tumah, b'shut rabim should be tamei. Nevertheless, we have halacha lo Moshe miSinai that overrides it from sota. Ma sota b'shut yachid, af tmeah b'shut yachid. The whole din of sota happens in b'shut yachid because the husband warns her from going seclusion with this individual. Then she goes into seclusion with this individual, and the pasuk says v'nitmea. It says like if she was vaday temea. So from that we learn out that's the paradigm. That paradigm tells us b'shuta yachid safek is considered as if it's vaday temea. B'shuta rabim, which you can't have nistara b'shuta rabim, that safek is not considered to be safek temea k'vaday temea and goes tahor. But as halacha l'moshe b'sinai, that sota is the paradigm for tuma. But that doesn't teach you that any suffix isura we go the kula versus sometimes when we go suffix sakata the chumra. That's a unique din. You know, you can't prove anything from halacha the Moshe miSinai. Tosfot points out over here, why do you need this at all? You have a cheskas tara, suffix and a cheska tara, then it should be suffix the kula, and we should, and say it's tahor. What do you need sota to teach me this din? So Tosfot says over here that the din here is even, but makom there isn't a cheska tara. Even when there isn't a machezka tara, nevertheless, safek tuma b'shuta rabim is tahor. And that's what the halacha l'moshe miSinai teaches you. The din of sota is even the face where we don't have, or there's a reyuta in the chazaka, nevertheless, we still say tahor b'shuta rabim. And therefore, even without chazaka, you can have this. But b'shuta yachid, even in the face of a chezka tara, and b'shuta yachid, we're going to say safek tmeya. We're going to say that there it's tamei, because even though there's a reyuta in the chazaka of the sota, nevertheless, there still is a chazaka there. And nevertheless, we say that she is Tamei on that case. Meiti Rav Simi, Sheretz b'fi Chuda. We have a Sheretz that's dead, who's Tamei, in the mouth of the Chuda, right, of the weasel, whatever the Chuda is. V'chuda me'alechet agabi kikarot shel truma. The Chuda is prancing on top of the kikarot shel truma. So in terms of the Chuda, there's no problem with the kikarot shel truma. Problem is that he has a Sheretz Tamei. Question is, Safek Naga, Safek Lo Naga. We don't know if this Sheretz touched the Truma here. Did it touch it because he put it down, the chulda, or was it on the kikarot and he picked it up, whatever that is. Sfeko tahor. Or here we say sfeko tahor. Bielu safek mai migulim asurim. In the same case, if it was mai migulim, we would say asurim. It says, hachanami yuchato gemira la misota. That's also, as the paradigm for tuma, sota also teaches us this din. Mas sota davar sheish badat nisha'el. Just like by sota, when we're talking about the safek tuma, that's somebody that you could ask. Even though there's a safek here, but somebody has the knowledge to respond over here. The only time we talk about sfeiko tamei b'shuta yachid is when the person who's involved in tumah could have been asked. So a human being who might have touched a sheretz and not touched a sheretz, there we go, sfeiko tamei. Because there's dat nishael. You can ask the human being whether they touched. They may not know, but they have the ability to ask them. Just like by the sota, you can ask the woman, was she tmeya or not? We're dealing with the individuals that you can ask. Over here by the chulda and the sheretz, there's nobody to ask. Even though there's a suffix here, and nobody could ever give us the information. There's nobody who could ever know this information, because you're dealing with two individuals, you know, chulda and a sheretz, that can't tell you that information. Therefore, sfeiko tahor. Sfeiko tahor because of this halacha l'moshe miSinai again. So if it's halacha l'moshe miSinai, it's an exception to the rule. You can't prove anything from there. So I'm Rav Ashi Tashma. I'll prove it from here. Tzlochit sheinicha migule. Right, so you have a tzlochit, which is some sort of pitcher. It's filled with mayim chayim. It's going to be used in mekadesh de parah aduma. This happens to be a mishnah in parah. Although the way the Gemara quotes it over here, it's really from the Tosefta. Because they, even though the mishnah and the Tosefta are similar, it adds in a couple of words and changes the word psula and tmeya, which make it that it's coming from the Tosefta, not from the mishnah. Which is sheinicha migule, ubao matzah mechuseh, comes back and he finds that it's covered. Tmeya. Shani omer, adam tmei nichnas l'sham v'kisa. I say, somebody tmei came in and covered it up. Heinicha mechuseh. It was covered. Uba matzah migule. And then he finds that it was uncovered. Im yechola chuda lishtot v'meno o nachash. The divrei Rabbi Gamliel. The nachash is only according to the divrei Gamliel. If either a chudar or a nachash can drink from it, oh, sheyard batal balayla psula. In this case, it's pasul. Why is it pasul over here? Rashi brings down two interpretations. The first interpretation is that there was a malacha done. This has to be water. The mayim chayim has to be something that has no malacha done with it. The drinking is a quasi form of malacha that's done by it, and therefore we posel the mayim chayim. Rashi brings a second interpretation down. He says about that, Ze shamati va'gongu. I heard this second interpretation. I think it's a lot better. Tosfos also asks on the first interpretation, and Rashi thinks it's no good, and he agrees with the second interpretation of Rashi, which the problem is that you have to have Mayim Chaim El Keli. That means that there can be nothing else mixed up with the Mayim Chaim. It must be pure Mayim Chaim and nothing else. The problem with the Chulda is Mekia. The way the Chulda drinks is not that it laps up the water, but rather it regurgitates. It pushes some of it back. Some of its saliva goes back into the water. It doesn't simply drink and take the water out, but some of its saliva is then added to the water, and that's what's posel. Rabbi Gamliel Shita Nachash is the same way, that a Nachash drinks in the same way. And a Nachash also is Mekia. It also spits up. And therefore, the spit up of the Nachash will also be problematic for the Mayim Chayim, because you have something else mixed in with it. And Tosa says that works well with the next line in the Braita. The next line in the Braita is, what? Shirad Batal Balayla. Dew fell on it during the night. Well, dew fell on the night. What's the problem with dew inside the Mayim Chayim? That's exactly the problem. It's Murab with something else. It's no longer Mayim Chayim El Keli. It's now mixed in with the other waters, other liquids that were not Mayim Chayim El Keli. And that's the soul over here. Rama Yamshua Ben Levi. Matam. What's the reason over here? Mipnei shedarkan shel shvatzim legalot vein darkam lechasot. That, or what we're speaking about over here is that shvatzim have the ability to open something up. They do not have the ability to cover something up. Ve'ilu safek mayim migulim asurim. And when you deal with safek mayim migulim, there they are asur. Shvamino chamira sakanta mi isura. What's the proof here? What's the story in this Mishnah? We say over here that it's psula. Psula for the use for the paraduma, but it's not tmeya. There's a suffix tuma here as well. Why don't we worry about it that an adam tamei came over here and took it out? Because in the latter case, the second half of the braita, we assume that was done by a sheretz. It was done by an animal. If it was done by an animal, we worry about the fact that it's psula, but we don't worry about the fact that it's tmeya. In the reisha, why do we worry about it? Why do we call it tmeya in the reisha? Well, in the reisha, we call it problematic because we have to be that an adam did it. There's no way that an animal covered it up. The only thing is that someone could have covered it up, and we assume that the person who covered it up was tamei. Look at Rashi on the top of Yudam and Aleph. It's the second Rashi there. So hilkach reisha leka lemitle bishvatzim utmeyim vitorim shchichi. Right, you can't be metalet in shvatzim. Tmeyim shchichi v'chayshin letmeyim. You have plenty of people who are tamei and tahor, and therefore we're choshesh for a tamei. Alma b'mide di sura talin and butter ruba d'shchichi. In Easter we go after that which is shchiach va'af gav d'lekula. Even though we're going lekula, so over here we're going after the rove. In the seifa we say that it's the shvatzim or animals that opened it up, and we make it pasul, but not tamei. But by imgulim would be asur the gamre. So there would be the kula. That's one way to learn it. That's the chiddush over here. Inami, Rashi comes down the second interpretation. By the way, that's in the parentheses in the Gemara here. We didn't read it, but if you read it in the Gemara, that inami, that's what Rashi interprets the second one. Inami, time of the nicha megulah matzah mechusem, mechusem matzah megulah, hab matzah kamushi inicha. If he finds it the way he left it, lo tumaika velo psulaika, ve'ilu safek mayim megulim asurim gersinan. Ba'av agav de'ika lemeimar adam nechnas l'sham shigila oto. Even though we could assume that the reason it was opened up over here was because some animal came in and opened it up. Someone that doesn't put eris in there. Snakes are the mute. Nevertheless, we say it was a nachash that did it. Basiri. So inami pshitale dehu atzmo gila uta b'shabi gilui kadei shechola nachash lishtot mehem amrin on the command asiri afagav de matzak mashinicha. So even though you opened it up, nevertheless, we are choshesh for the fact that the nachash comes and deposits his venom in there. So Rashi brings three ways to interpret from this braita, from this tosefta, that we have chamura sakanta misura. The first way was that the second half of the braita says psula and not meya. And there we assume we go a la rov, that the animals opened it up and not a human being. Therefore, we assume that it's pasul and not tmeya. That's the first possible proof. So there we say, safek by the tuma is tahor, safek by mayim gulim would be pasul. The second way Rashi learns it out is from the first half of the Tosefta, which is that there it says that there was a change in the status of the item. Either it was uncovered and now covered, or covered and then uncovered. Over there, when there's a change in the status of the item, then we worry about who did it and who's involved. But if the item remained in the same status as it was before, then we would not be worried. Even if it was Migulet, even if it was left open, we wouldn't worry about it. The same status would be there. And we would say, fine, go ahead and use it for our Mayim Chayim El Keli. Yet, by Mayim Gulim, if you left it open, it was the same way it was when you came back. Nevertheless, there were Choshesh for it. So that's the second possibility of learning the Sakanto is the Chumrah. The third way Rashi learns it is that if you yourself opened up the item and left it in that status, nevertheless, for Mayim Gulim, we would be Choshesh. But by Isura, of course, we'd not be Choshesh for that. If you're the one who opened it, then we know who opened it up, and we wouldn't worry about it. So there's a three different ways that Rashi shows from this Tosefta, that Safek of Tuma'a, Safek Isura, we go to Kula, and we go after the Rove. Yet by Safek Sakanta, by Mayim Gulim, we go in all those cases to Chumra and say you can't drink from it. So now the Gemara says, Shmamina, Chamira, Sakanta, Mi Isura, Shmamina. Now we conclude that Sakanta is more Chomer than Isura, and that takes us back to the beginning of this Gemara, which is why by Nekev? Why are we Choshesh that the animal was Nokev on top of an existing hole? By the Kashrut issue, we say no. We say that's a Din in Isura. Over there we say Kosher, and don't worry about it. It has Cheskas Kashrut, and you can eat it. But by the case of Sakanta, where it's possible to Nachash ate it, and then on top of that you have another animal biting into it, then we say Safek Lechumra, and you don't eat it, because we're afraid that the Nachash put it in there. That's what we see from this Braita by Paraduma. We see that that's the case. There is such a precedent for Chamira Sakanta Misura, that even though we have a Safek in Isura, we go to Kula after the Rove, and we have a Safek Sakanta, we go, even though the Rove would dictate against it, nevertheless we go the Chumra. So just to wrap up, what we see here is that we go after the Rove when it comes to Isura. And therefore, we have the opportunity to determine that it was opened up to by an animal, not by a human being. Or the likelihood is, if I add up the animals and the human beings that are Tahor, they become the Rove, and we're not Choshesh for Isura. That is not true by the Mayim Gulim. By Mugulim, ala Rove, whoever drank from it or whatever was touched, there was a likelihood it was not a poisonous animal or poisonous steak. Nevertheless, we're Choshesh for that, and we say that there's a problem. So over there, even though the Rove dictates otherwise, we're Choshesh for my Mugulim, which is not true by Isura. And that's how we come to the conclusion that Sakanta Chamira Misura, because we go to the Rove, Lekula, by Isura, but we don't do that to buy Sakanta. By the way, that's a big thing. I think generally with issues of safety, like wearing helmets, where kids are riding bikes, wearing seatbelts in a car, all these things that people keep kosher, they don't eat kosher items, and they also want to put on their seatbelt and wear a helmet. Because we see here, the Gemara says, Chamira Sakanta Misura. Sakanta is a higher level than Isur. So if there's any question that ala rov, that these things protect an individual, then you have to keep them like you keep any other Isur and any other mitzvah in the Torah. Bivar medaktikim ala mitzvot and Isurim should be medaktikim ala sakanto as well. So it's not hotom. The Mishnah and Shumot, Gimel mashkim asurim mishum giloy. There are three liquids which we worry about giloy that a snake might deposit his venom in him. Mayim v'yayin v'chalav. Those are things he likes to drink. Water, wine, and milk. Kama yisha'u v'yu asurim. What is called migulim? How much do they have to be left open in order to be problematic? Kadei sheyetzei arachash mimakom akarov. Rachash is the Aramaic for a sheretz or something that moves and crawls. Rachash mimakom karov yishtef. From a place that's close by and then drink it. Bekama makom karov. What does that mean, a close by place? Rabbi Yitzchak, braid Rabbi Yehuda, kadei sheyetze mitachat ozen. You can come out from underneath the handle of the kleiv yishteh, and then it'll drink it. Yishteh, hakahazile. If that's all you have to wait, then you're going to see him drinking. If that amount of time, there's only enough time for him to get out from under the handle of the kleiv to drink, then when you show up, if that's the amount of time, you'll see him drinking. So there has to be more time than that. Ella, yishteh v'yachzor l'choro. And he'll drink and then go back to his place. Now it can't be that he goes back to under the handle, because then you'll see him there. So that you don't want. You have to be that he'll disappear from sight so that you won't know about it. So that's a case where it's hiding under the handle of the kli, comes in, drinks, and then has enough time to leave and be in a hidden location. That's the amount of time that's called the Mayim Migulim, and those would be Asurim. Tosfot over here brings the Yishalmi, who says no, Kechuta Sara. No, it's enough that he goes from underneath the handle of the kli and then disappears immediately. Because there's this type of snake called the Shvifon, and it has Rishut Nitna, the Beka, La Karka, Libake, Mimenu. That the ground opens up for it. It splits and lets it in. So in a split second, it can remove itself. So even though it's hiding under the handle of the kli and goes in, It's leaving happens in a momentary notice because it can disappear into the ground, and therefore that's all you need to wait over here. Obviously, the halacha we bring down, Tosfot mentions it in other places, that since the nachashim are not common amongst us, or poisonous snakes are not common amongst us, they don't drink our drinks, therefore we are not choshesh for migulim. There are those, like in Neirot Chanukah, the same way that Tosfot says over there, that we don't have the din of Ashiticha Regel Menshuk because we have a different standard. We light inside, or people are out later at night, so maybe that doesn't apply. As well as by Mayim Achronim, which Tosfot again says doesn't apply today because we don't have Melech Stomit. Just like over there, the Maral argues on the Tosfot and says, even though the time is different, there are celestial reasons for doing it at that time. Says the same thing by Mayim Gulim. Mayim Gulim, even though it doesn't apply in terms of the poison, there's still something about Mayim Gulim that are not good. So you shouldn't make Kiddush on them, you shouldn't do certain items on them. Even though, again, the Sakanta issue is not there. Nevertheless, like the Maral and others still say that there are these spiritual issues involved with them, and therefore one should be makbid on Migulim, or Migulim, even though we don't have, like as Tosfos says, the issue of Sakanta anymore. Okay, we'll stop over here.